a shot, runs into the box, shot,
score! It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, joined by Madison Cruz. Tonight, we're talking soccer in Atlanta. We're talking soccer in Georgia. We're talking soccer in the United States. We're talking soccer right now in Ecuador, because that's what's on my TV. We're talking soccer in Europe. We're talking soccer all over the place. It's what we do on AST. This is a busy one because we had a match 2 days ago, and we have a match for Atlanta United tomorrow night. And then 2 days after that, there's another match. It's a busy time for the Five Stripes. It's a busy time in MLS. We'll talk about all of that as we go tonight. Club World Cup right around the corner. There's a play-in game on Saturday night to see who's coming to Atlanta to play Chelsea. Sold-out crowd at BMO Stadium. We'll get into Club America and LAFC. But, Maddie, we will start with Atlanta United. A big win on Sunday night. We've talked about where Atlanta United has been for a long time and what needed to change and what could change and what you hope to see change. We've seen some changes tactically, and I think the last two matches we've seen some of that pay off, and hopefully we'll see some increased confidence tomorrow night as Orlando comes to town.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, and you'll hear from Ronnie Dyla, obviously, as I had the chance to speak with them at media after training today, but it's something that he said to me when I asked him, you know, he talked about the painting and how it's, you know, it's a painting, you're completing it, you're trying to pick a color, you're trying to make something fit. And it's, you know, I think you're getting close to the completed thing. You're fitting the puzzle that fits what this group needs. And I think you found that. I think you found it in the way that the formation is. I think you found it with which tools you can utilize, not only how it helps the players who are going to be starting, but also the players who come in and be effective off the bench. Because we saw that too on Sunday as well, with Matheus Klich delivering a beautiful ball to Jamal Traoré, who made the run to make it 4-2 as well. I mean, you look at the players that can not only be impactful in the starting lineup, but also the players that are impactful when they come off the bench, and how this formation utilizes, I think, everybody, and how you're seeing it all collectively come together. I think there are obviously things that obviously still need to be tweaked a little bit. I mean, you just look at some of the defending in those moments on set pieces, that has to be a little bit cleaner, especially going up against Cincy and going up against Orlando tomorrow. But I think you're starting to see the building blocks of what this team can be. And listen, if Sunday's any indicator, I'm excited, because it was a great performance. I think just for me, I love players, and I love a team that fights. And that's something that we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, of wanting to see that. And we saw that on Sunday. And that is what I think is the most important thing to take out of.
Yeah, you saw that in a few different ways. We will talk about the collision with Lotte Lott and Nick Haglund in just a second. Cincinnati fans, you can go ahead and mute the radio for a little bit if you're waiting for our takes on that one. I want to talk about the fight in a sequence that ended up leading to a goal. It was a moment where Jay Fortune had a pass that was a turnover, not on the same page. I don't even remember who his intended target was, but he passes. It's turned over. He immediately steps to press the ball, doesn't give up on the play, doesn't drop off on the play either. And his pressure forces a really bad wayward pass back. I think it was Buka who passed it back, intended to get to Celentano. Ends up going over the end line. Ends up being a corner kick that Atlanta converts on. That kind of stuff is so important. I felt like very early on, the team was dropping off a lot and letting Cincinnati play a little bit too much. Maybe that was something that was talked about during the injury break when Haglund was down and the team had a huddle on the field, because it felt like after that, it wasn't crazy reckless high pressure, but it was very smart pressure from Lotte Lott, from Miguel Almiron, and made life just that bit much more difficult for Cincinnati. And I think it ended up really helping Atlanta on the night. That kind of fight, not purely what we saw with the collision with Lotte Lott and Haglund, but the intelligent fight to try to win the ball back. I think we saw it enough to to where that has to be a component for Atlanta United going forward for good now.
Yeah, you just have to hassle. Like, it is just the idea of, okay, if I don't have the ball, I'm still going to be composed, even if I don't have it. And I'm going to try to win it back every chance I get. And I think we saw a lot of that in the first half. I think the first 15 minutes, it kind of felt a little bit awkward trying to get back into it. But then I think once Cincy got that first goal to kind of come back into it, I think it clicked back on again immediately, because I think you want to see that high press. That's how Ronnie Dyla wants his team to play. And there were even moments just watching him on the touchline. He was motioning forward, go forward, yep, trying to put more of that high pressure up there, because that's what you want. You want to have that, because then you put Cincy in a position where they have to make a decision, because it's like, oh, I have someone coming at me. Where am I going to go? Am I going to pass it back? Am I going to go forward? And then you create kind of that moment of, oh, what am I going to do? And you make them second guess it. And you want to keep that high pressure. And I think it's something we've talked about all season, is, you know, the performances coming out of second half. I think Sunday, we saw a little bit of that, but I think you saw a team that was able to claw their way back into it when you did have that fatigue a little bit, but they were able to claw back into it and they were able to come out with a dominating performance at the very end. And I think that's what counts too, is how you overcome those moments. You want to make that more consistent all the way through 90, but you saw the first 15 of the second half, it was a little flat, but they were able to crawl out of it and they were able to get the job done. And that's what you want to see.
Yeah. The way they bounced back after conceding both times is good. Agree. I think there were some really good elements with that. Before we get into Bartosz Lisz and his comments today and Ronnie Dyla, let's talk about Latte Lott and let's talk about Nick Haglund. Nick Haglund, I believe, is on his way back to Cincinnati now, after he was in the hospital for a couple of days. A very freak collision between Latte Lott and Haglund ends up leading with a collapsed lung and rib damage. Collisions happen in soccer, especially when a defender is trying to screen off a player pressing the ball. We go back to pressing and the need for it. There was a lot made of this, from whether we're talking about the commentary team on Apple TV, because it was shown again in the second half. It was looked at by VAR. There was no intervention from VAR. It was seen by the referee crew. They did not deem it to be a foul, let alone any card. So this wasn't missed. It was talked about on Apple TV. I talked about it when I saw the replay come up. It was talked about on social media a lot by a lot of different folks, and maybe a fanning of flames from some accounts out there, just saying. And ultimately, the disciplinary committee doesn't say a word about it today. I hate it for Nick Haglund, who's a very good professional and a player who had to battle back from injury already this season, coming back from a broken leg last year. I hate it for Nick Haglund, but there's nothing in the sequence outside of an ordinary collision when you have one player trying to screen off another. And I'll repeat something that's come up that we've all talked about. We've wanted to see this team be more physical. We've wanted this team to be, you know, a little more hard-nosed at times. Well, when somebody's trying to block you off from pressing the ball and you run through that person, I think that's kind of what we've wanted to see at times from this group. You don't want to see people get hurt, but you can't stop playing because the defender tries to screen the ball from one of your players. I think Latte Lott did everything correct. Yeah, his arm comes up. He's not throwing an elbow. His arms come up because you're running into somebody protecting yourself. I think trying to make any more of it is a reach. And I think there's been some pretty frustrating behavior in terms of fanning those flames that have occurred, to where now Latte Lott is being painted with a brush of being a dirty player, which is so far from the truth, it's not even funny.
No, I think that's the part for me where I'm most frustrated with the situation, is that it's one of those things. It's exactly like what you said. It's a collision between both players. They're trying to get the ball, and it's Haglund stepping in front. We had the conversation too. I mean, we talked about it earlier today as well, when we were at media, just me and you chatting. In the laws of the game, it is stated about obstruction is, yeah, when I'm reading this directly from, like, yeah, from website. It's what happens when a player deliberately obstructs an opponent by stepping in front of them when the ball is a couple feet away. That is obstruction.
There's a foul in the sequence. It's on Haglund for blocking Latte Lott when he's not playing the ball.
Exactly. And so, but like that, besides the point in anything like that, I think when you watch the play, I think everyone is focusing very heavily on the arm swinging. When you look at the play, Hagelin steps in front trying to obstruct Latte Lath. Latte Lath, we know as a player, you see that bouncing ball. How many times have we seen Latte Lath win those balls and are able to go for to make the other play? That's exactly what he's doing. He ends up, he's trying to get around him in that way, and it's just the collision between two players. I think where I get upset is the discord of painting Latte Lath like he is this villain and he is a dirty player and he and everything. Like, that is uncalled for. That is absolutely uncalled for. And frankly, I think it's like, I don't understand where you're coming with that. Like, I don't get it. And I don't understand why you're trying to paint this image, because just personally, chatting with Latte Lath, I mean, the nicest guy, the nicest player I think you will ever meet. And to be painted that way and to have that be what's being said right now, I think is uncalled for. And I think it's, and I think so, I said this before, I think people need to go touch some grass. Go outside, enjoy the view, have some time in nature. It's very nice. It can be very loving. That's what you need to do, because to try to paint Latte Lath like he is some horrible person for what happened, and it is a very horrible situation what happened to Hagelin.
Injury is horrible, but that doesn't make Latte Lath a horrible player or a dirty player or throwing a cheap shot, some of the different languages being used.
I completely agree with you, and I think that's the thing here, and I think what's happening is it's everyone trying to call for it to be looked at again as well by the league too. It's, you're not looking at the actual play. You're looking at what happened after the play. You're looking at the injury that happened after the play. And that's not how that happens. And that isn't what happens. And again, I'm very happy and I'm very glad to hear that he's going back to Cincinnati today as well. That is very good to hear as well. And everyone here with Atlanta and Cincy and everyone who helped him out in this process, thank you so much again. Like, that, the quick response there was, it's good. That's what you want to see. But I don't like the image that people are painting Latte Lath as this dirty player, because he is not. He is not a dirty player. He is not. He is a very, very good player, and he's a very kind player, and he's a hardworking player. And
player. And that's the other element is, you know, we've talked about his speed. We've talked about his pace. If you're going to try to block him off from a run, he's one of the fastest players in the league, and he's not a small lad. You know, like, you're going to get hit by him if he's running at full speed, and he got to full speed pretty quick in the situation, and it's a heavy collision that was initiated by Nick Hagelin, and that's his job and that's part of his game too, and he's gotta try to protect the ball for his team in that situation. But it's not a foul. If anything, the foul on the field would have been called on Hagelin if it had been called. It's a no call that we see pretty commonly. I talk about this a lot in terms of obstruction. I feel like the rule is basically being lost in the rule book at this point. It's something that used to get called very tightly. It's not anymore, whether it's a set piece or whether it's run a play like this. It's something that I do think should get called more, because I don't like the screens and pick plays and those sorts of things that are just now very, very common. One reason I don't like it is because of these kinds of situations, because if I'm the coach, I would never want Latte Lath to back off of trying to get to that ball. He has to press it. Like we talked about earlier, you have to press the opponent. If you drop off and you let them play, you're going to be defending the whole time and you're probably going to concede. And we've seen that a lot for Atlanta United this season. You have to press. You have to close down the ball. And when somebody who's not on the ball tries to block you off of that, you can't give up. And that's what happened in this situation. And it's unfortunate the injury happened the way that it did. Any characterizations that have tried to turn this into something else, frankly, I just think are incorrect. And where it's gotten kind of outlandish after the fact, it sounds like there's history between the referee and the Cincinnati fan base that I don't know the whole story with that, but that feels like it's a little overblown. This was a situation that was looked at by the referee, by the assistant referees on the field. The fourth official also had eyes on it. The VAR looked at it. The AVARs looked at it. I don't know if the disciplinary committee looked at it. I'm sure Pro talked about it. No one has come out outside of one fan base to say that it's anything other than a soccer collision. So I don't know what else to say. It's a very frustrating thing that we even have to continue talking about it, because if it had been called a foul, or honestly, frankly, if there hadn't been an injury, I don't think we'd be talking about it at all in any form right now. And it's unfortunate that this is where it is. It's unfortunate that we took up a lot of time in the segment talking about it, because we didn't get to Bartosz Szlich or Ronnie Dyla. So after the break, you're going to hear from Bartosz Szlich. You're going to hear from Ronnie Dyla from media today. We're also going to get caught up on the latest in Club World Cup land and everything else going on around the world. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, joined by Madison Cruz tonight. I think we can put the Cincinnati game to bed. I think we can end this game at this point, and we can move on to Orlando coming to town next week. Or, sorry, tomorrow night. It's been such a crazy schedule as of late. I don't even know where we're going to be tomorrow night. We're going to be at the Benz. 7:40 kickoff for Atlanta and Orlando. Let's move on. Let's talk to Bartosz Szlich and Ronnie Dyla. They spoke to the media today. Madison, you were at training. Let's play Bartosz, and then I want to get your takeaways from what he had to say to the media. Here's Bartosz Szlich speaking today.
Yes, yes, it was a special goal for me, also for my wife. Yes, we can celebrate because my wife is pregnant. So, like I said, it was a special goal. And I'm happy that I could celebrate at our stadium, also with my wife at the stadium. Yeah.
You saw Orlando earlier this season and coming to the bench now. What needs to be done to get 3 points tomorrow?
Yeah, Orlando is for sure a very good team, and it's not gonna be like easy game, because also we had the game 2 days ago, Orlando as well, maybe 3 days ago, but it's not the excuse that. We know that Orlando is a good team. They want to play they want to have the possession. They want to play also direct to the strikers. They have very good players, individual players. So I think the most important thing is to just focus on our game and do it how it was on the Sunday in the first half, for example. And because I saw in this game that we are like compact, we are the team. We press together. We just play together. Everyone fight for each other, so I think this is the most important. Of course, like in every game, the opponent also creates a situation, but you have to avoid us. We have to just avoid too many situations like that, and that's it, I think.
I like when Bartosz speaks to the media. He doesn't enjoy it a whole lot, I don't think. We don't get to hear from him a ton, but I really like when he is speaking to the media and kind of digging into things a little bit. What else did you take away from Szlich speaking today?
Yeah, I mean, I think I completely agree with you. I always love getting to chat with Bartek. I remember chatting with him after we beat the Red Bulls back at home last season too, and just the way he approaches, I think, just the way he views the game and everything, it's very, very fun to chat with him. I think just talk about Orlando. It's a lot of just the same thing. It's just how you play your game with everything. And something Ronnie Dyla also said, too, is that Cincy and Orlando kind of play very similarly. So it's kind of trying to figure out, like, okay, it's kind of nice you're facing an opponent that's very similar. So how do you go into this game, continue to play the way that you want to play and things that you need to improve upon heading into tomorrow's match? Because you got the 3 points, and listen, it was a great 3 points. You got the 4-2 victory. You were able to find the back of the net, which I think was the talking point for a lot of it, was finding a goal. And you were able to find them. You were able to find them on set pieces. You were able to find them in open play, and that's huge. Now just cleaning up some of the small things defensively with set pieces, and then also I think utilizing a little bit more of that high press and not being afraid to step up a little bit higher and not being afraid to take the extra step and go forward and win the ball back in those moments where maybe you don't have it. But I really liked what Bartek said about Orlando and just they have to play their game. And again, huge congratulations to him and his wife as well, you know, for welcoming their first kid. That's so cool. That's so awesome. So congratulations.
Yeah, it was cool to see him looking for his wife in when he's on the field after scoring the goal and celebrating. You could tell he was trying to pick her out in the crowd. Very, very cool. Let's hear from Ronnie Dyla. He spoke today as well, and here's a little bit of what he had to say.
We're talking about leadership. I see a lot better leadership also in the group now. As I said, Miggy has been outstanding to go in front in now, and you see Derek is very important for the team. And also Brad, when you have him like this, Clicky coming on, is very positive and also a leader type. So, and Jay growing into his role, Bartos is talking more. So I see things that is very positive for the future.
You talked about earlier this season painting a picture, and that's kind of what this is looking like. Do you think the picture is close to being done, or is this?
I think we're closer to our picture now to suit this group. I think that is. I think has been a lot of changes during now the last weeks to find the right way to play, to get the best out of every player and the best out of the group. And I think we are close to see some good patterns offensively and defensively in that way.
I loved the picture painting analogy that was used earlier this season by Ronnie Dyla. It was a very cool way to put kind of where things are. Our own for the SDH Network, Sophia Cupertino, wrote an article about that perfect picture and what Ronnie is kind of looking for. So a cool callback to that. Where do you feel like this team is in creating that picture from what we saw on Saturday and what we hope to see tomorrow against Orlando?
I think it's exactly what Ronnie said. You know, it's you're getting really close to it, and especially with the team that you have and how this team wants to play and what pieces and what things you need to move around to make it work. It's soccer so much like a chess game, because you're trying to figure out, okay, this piece fits here, but this piece might not fit this one. So how do then I utilize this? Like, what can I do to get the best out of every single player? And I think you found that in the last game and in the game before. I think the formation that you have suits every single player out there, because it allows for things to go forward. And even too, you're noticing things that I think are brand new. Like we've talked about it. The Jay Fortune and Alexi Maranchuk duo is incredible. It's something I don't think I would have ever thought of. And you watch it on the field and it's like, whoa, okay, like, let's go. This is awesome. And I think they bounce off of each other very nicely. And I think you have the midfielder also back with the back line too, kind of holding things down with Bartosz Lisz, as well as Tristan Mwamba, as well in the last game as well, not the Cincy game, but the game before as well. You have that, you got that holding midfielder too, kind of holding things down, being kind of the last line of defense before you get to the back line and helping out in those moments. But even too, I think with Bartek as well, you know, I noticed it too when Ronnie Dyla talked about the leadership, him commanding the space, pointing things out, getting things forward, talking, getting things going. And it's something Bartek even talked about too. You know, he even said too, he wants to get better in this game too, because he didn't feel like he had the best performance, which I thought it was a phenomenal performance from Bartek, especially just the way he commanded the space and watching him dictate where he needed to go and where he needed to pick the pass and talking to everybody. And I think you saw that from not only him, but every player out there. And it's piggyback off the first question I asked Ronnie. There was a moment, we talked about it already during when Haglund was injured and he was getting treated. There was a moment I watched as Brad Guzan went over to the technical area to get some instructions or to chat for a second. Then there was a huddle there. And I asked Ronnie Dyla about that, and he didn't remember it at the time because it was in the middle of a game. The game was a little bit ago, so it makes sense that, you know, you wouldn't remember the things at the moment. But
Ronnie goes straight to the next game pretty fast.
And that's absolutely fair. You have to just focus on the next thing. But he went into the leadership talk, and I really enjoyed hearing that, especially the players who are stepping up in the moments, because it's not just one leader. It's not just Brad. It's not just the veterans. It's everyone. It is Miguel Almiron who is taking a big step. And I thought, even though, you know, you didn't see an assist or a goal with him last on Sunday, I thought he played brilliantly with what he was able to do in the moments, just being in those moments, kind of picking the spots where he needed to go. I thought it was a very good, underrated performance. I don't think anyone's talking about, but I thought he played brilliantly. And I also saw him being leadership moments on the field. Jay had moments there too. Derek had huge moments as well. You're seeing that from everybody. And I think that's what it is. It's a collective. It's not just one person. It's everyone. There's 11 people on the field. You got to work together. And sometimes it takes one person and one player to step up to one moment and then another player to the other. And I think the picture is coming together, and I think you're seeing it. I don't think it's completely done yet. I think you have, I don't want to say a rough draft, but I'll almost say you have a first or second draft of what this painting can be. And I think you need a couple of more, like a couple more strokes, a couple more colors to fill in here and there to make it a little bit better. But I think you have a really, really solid first, second draft on your hands with this team. And I'm really excited to see it on Wednesday. I'm really, really excited to see it up against Orlando.
See, here's the thing about a painting. I'm going to go to the second part of what Ronnie talked about when he brought this up. I think it was back in April that he mentioned it. We've focused a lot on the first part. The second part, I think, is even more important. I think it's what we're seeing play out right now. He said, when a wrong color is, and he implied, added to the painting, go in and adjust it. Add something else.
Yeah.
That's painting. Like, I think, you know, when we're writing, you can erase stuff. You can go back and cut it out. You can get AI to help you with it. You can do all that stuff now. When you're painting and you've got the brushes out and you've got the paint out and you might have a line that gets a little haywire, you might have a color that doesn't quite match what you had in your head, or it hits another color and it kind of comes out funky. Okay, you have to then go and adjust and make something new out of it. And I think the midfield that we're seeing right now from Atlanta United is part of that. I think Miguel Almiron in the position that he's in is part of that. I think you're seeing Ronnie Dyla adjust in real time to what maybe you could see as a wrong color, or maybe a not quite the right color he thought it would be at the beginning. Cool, tweak it, change it. It can still end up being a beautiful picture. And that's where I think Atlanta United is right now, in the adjustment phase, trying to match the initial vision with the adjustments that have happened over time. You know, maybe arm got a little bit of a cramp and the stroke didn't quite come out the way that you thought. Okay, you can still make it all work in the end. And that's where you are. You're not quite halfway through yet. The painting's still coming together. But yeah, I'm with you. I think you have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like in the end now. And it might not be exactly what you thought it was going to look like at the beginning. It can still be a very pretty picture. And I think that's where Atlanta United is right now. Tomorrow night, hosting Orlando City, 7:40 kickoff. Pre-game coverage will start at 6:30. Abe Gordon and somebody that's also on the show, not me, that would be her, Madison, is with Abe. And there will be a match day mixtape, and it sounds like there might be a theme to it. You're just going to have to listen to find out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tease too much, but no. You know Orlando. You know what's in Orlando.
There's stuff there. There's That's things all I'll say. In
you
Orlando. Little,
you make me a mouse. Let's just say that.
Possible. Anything can happen in the match day mixtape. That's tomorrow. That'll be at the last segment of the pregame show. We'll have Garth Lagerwey as well joining Mike Conti and I about midway through. So right about 6:55, right before 7 o'clock, Garth will join us in the booth, and we'll see what his reaction is to Sunday night's big win against Cincinnati. So we've talked a lot about Atlanta United. We haven't gotten into like half of the things that are on the rundown. We have the 3-4-3 coming up next. It's three local stories. It's four headlines. It's three things that make us smile about the game. And we might be making it up as we go. Coming up right after this on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It is time for the final segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Show has flown by tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, joined by Madison Cruz, and it's time for the 3-4-3 brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's three local stories. It's four headlines. It's three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Let's start with number one on the local side, Atlanta United 2. They beat Orlando City B 3-0 on Sunday night in Central Florida. It was supposed to be on Friday night in Kennesaw. Field was unplayable. They go to Orlando. Second straight game that Atlanta United 2's had to go on the road. They haven't lost either one of those, by the way. They are five straight without a loss. Kamen Togashi with two goals. Gabriel Wiese scored his third goal of the season. Academy goalkeeper Jonathan Ransom, first game of the year, second clean sheet of the year, youngest to have a clean sheet in Atlanta United 2 history. A big, big performance for the twos on Sunday night.
Listen, you stole the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say that as well. Jonathan Ransom becoming the youngest goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet. That's crazy, especially for the twos. You're seeing so much academy talent, I think, in the twos this season, especially a Gabriel Wiese as well. It's fun to watch. And listen, I'll say it here. When we're back at Fifth Third, when we're back in Kennesaw, y'all got to come out. You got to come out and support the twos because they are a fun, fun, fun group to watch.
Let's hope that when we're supposed to be back, we're back in Kennesaw. Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, everybody.
Fingers crossed. Come on, Scrappy. Get the job done. Let's move to the WPSL, a league that we really have, I think, fallen in love with over the past couple of seasons here locally. Five teams in the Peachtree Division this season. Some teams a couple games in. Some teams haven't played a league game yet. You have five teams in the division. They'll play everybody home and away. Right now, Chattanooga, Decatur, both one game played, one win. Atlanta Fire United, they've played twice. They've won once. UFA Gunners have played twice and lost twice. And Georgia Impact has not played yet, but that will change this weekend. They go to Chattanooga on Friday night. Decatur hosts UFA Gunners on Friday night as well. Be an amazing crowd in downtown Decatur for that one. And then Sunday, UFA Gunners play again. Georgia Impact plays again, but it's the home opener at Cherokee High School in Canton. We've had a chance to see these teams a little bit. I saw some of Decatur's intra-squad scrimmage and the Georgia Impact intra-squad scrimmage. You saw the Impact intra-squad scrimmage. What are you looking forward to for Sunday when Georgia Impact is back in Canton and we'll be on the call?
Oh, I'm excited because I think, especially with the group that we saw, that there's a lot of new faces, but a lot of the talent that was there last season is back again as well. So you got a whole bunch of new players coming in and who are going to be standouts there. Maddie Hook is one. You also have Charlie Bernal of Kennesaw State. She's going to be back as well. You have a lot of consistent faces in this Georgia Impact group, which is huge, but you also have a lot of really talented new faces who are stepping in as well. And it's going to be a good blend. I'm very excited to see the first match of the season on Friday and be at Reformation up in Canton with everyone there for the watch party to cover stuff for Impact this season. And I'm also really excited for the home opener because it's going to be a ton of fun. I'm very excited to be on the call.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one on Sunday. Some really exciting new talent for Georgia Impact. Some exciting new talent for Decatur FC as well. Looks like maybe those are the two teams that'll be fighting it out this season in WPSL. Don't discount Chattanooga, though, and I think we'll get a good sense of how things are on Friday night with Chattanooga hosting Georgia Impact. Let's move on to number three on the local side. Yesterday, had the chance to go up to Cumming, Georgia. NoFo Brewing, North Forsyth. Cool brewery that I had not had the chance to visit. And the reason why I was there, and I'm talking about it on the soccer show, is NoFo is a partner of Walsall FC in England, who was playing in a promotion final trying to get to the third division in the English pyramid. They unfortunately came up short in that one, 1-0 to AFC Wimbledon. But I had a chance to talk to Joe Garcia, the CEO of NoFo Brewing, and I asked him, how did this all come about? Why is a brewery from Forsyth County in Georgia on the front of the training shirt for a 100-plus-year-old English professional soccer team? Here's what Joe had to say.
Business partners Brian and Shannon Miles are part of the investor group that bought both Walsall FC and Drogheda United. So pretty soon after, you know, Brian's wheels got spinning and he was like, beer, football, you know, there's probably not a better combo. So how do we get our brand over there? And that was a few years ago. And we launched in England first and then recently in Ireland as well. So our beer's on draft in both stadiums and we're in distribution in over 100 accounts across the UK.
Really, business partners. Really cool to see a huge crowd for this game at NoFo Brewing in Cumming on Memorial Day morning. It was a 10 a.m. kickoff. We're going to be doing more with NoFo Brewing, and you'll be able to hear the whole conversation with myself and Joe tomorrow on the SDH Network. Instagram is at Soccer Down Here, on YouTube as well, youtube.com Soccer Down Here. And there will be plenty more to come with our new friends at NoFo Brewing. Let's get into the headlines, and we're going to get very Club World Cup focused here because we're very close to the competition starting, less than 3 weeks away. Lots of things bubbling up with this competition. Number one on the headlines, reports on Cristiano Ronaldo. His team didn't qualify, but it might not be his team much longer. Al Nassr, who didn't win anything in Saudi Arabia this year, they're regressing with Ronaldo there, and he kind of gave you some cryptic social media posts on Monday as the season ended that maybe a chapter is closing and a new one might be starting. There's rumors in Brazil that an unnamed Brazilian club has made an offer, a lucrative offer, for him to come in for the Club World Cup. There's been talk out of Mexico that Monterrey is trying to reunite Sergio Ramos and Cristiano Ronaldo. There is a very low-tier source trying to say that Miami wants to bring in Cristiano Ronaldo and pair him with Messi. What do you think about Cristiano Ronaldo in the Club World Cup?
Oh, wow. If that ends up happening, then we get to see Messi, Busquets, Suarez, Alba, and Cristiano Ronaldo.
I can tell you that much.
I'm like, whoa, that would be insane. Like, I would have thought I'd seen everything. I thought I would have seen everything, and then I would have seen that, and I was like, whoa. It makes sense, especially with the new FIFA deadline rule, especially for the block of the World Cup. You wouldn't anticipate clubs wanting to do that, and why not go after one of the biggest soccer players in the world as well, you know, especially if he's coming out of contract. You know, if you get an opportunity to try to get someone like that on your team to hopefully try to get you forward and to win Club World Cup, it makes sense. I wouldn't be shocked if you see other teams doing it with other big powerhouses in Premier League and other clubs around the world. I wouldn't be shocked if you see some offers made or some bigger offers.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's a weird one where the only place that could possibly pay him the same like kind of money that he was making at Al Nassr, and he is out of contract at the end of June. If you want to get him, you're going to have to pay Al Nassr to let him go a little bit early.
Yeah.
Al Hilal from Saudi Arabia, they're in the competition. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I don't know. They have some players in his position, but who knows? Anything can happen. Stay tuned on that one. Speaking of getting guys out of a deal early, let's move on to number two on the headlines quickly. Trent Alexander-Arnold, we know he's going to Real Madrid. We know it's going to happen when his contract is up with Liverpool. That's June 30th. The competition starts June 14th, and now the price keeps going up. A deal hasn't gotten done yet. We had reported before that the reports out of Spain and England were $1 million to get him out of his contract a month early. Now, according to El Chiringuito in Spanish television, it's $5 million to get him out of his contract a month early. Whew, that feels excessive.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
For a couple weeks.
Yeah, like that's a lot. That's
for like three games. I mean, I think you could play the group stage and then he could be registered for the knockout rounds and play in July, I think.
But you want him to be there for the very beginning.
You do, but $5 million.
Yeah, $5 million, it seems like a lot. And that's just crazy.
I'm not so sure on that one. We'll see what ends up happening there. Real Madrid's going into this tournament in a big, big way with Xabi Alonso in charge now. Number three, another couple of teams who are trying to get into the tournament. It's LAFC and Club America on Saturday night, 10:30 Eastern time. You can watch on DAZN. This is at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles, but it's not going to be an LAFC home game. It's being treated as a neutral site venue by FIFA. They're managing the match, so it will look and feel a little bit different. It's sold out. It's going to be intense. The winner gets into the tournament and will pocket right under $10 million. This is the most lucrative game that a Major League Soccer club has ever played in. We'll see if LAFC can handle the pressure. Club America, they lost in the Liga MX final over the weekend to Toluca, so they're going to be fired up for this one to try to get into the Club World Cup. And number four on the headline, speaking of those two teams, the winner will open the tournament here in Atlanta against Chelsea on June 16th. Chelsea plays in the Europa Conference League final tomorrow against Real Betis from Spain. Craziest stat that I've read about this game. Last nine times a Spanish team has played an English team in a final in European competition, the Spanish team has won. The last 9 times, Liverpool beat Alaves in like 2001. That's the last time that an English team beat a Spanish team in a European final.
That's crazy. Like, yeah. That's nuts. That'll be interesting, especially, you know, as we're getting closer to Club World Cup. You know, those are the games that I think can help give a little momentum and a little bit of drive heading forward, especially as you get ready for those first couple matches. It's kind of like as going back to LAFC facing Club America, too. Club America is going to have a chip on their shoulder for not winning the Liga MX final. Like, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder going into this one because they're going to want to compete. They're going to want to go in. LAFC is also going to have a chip on their shoulder because, again, it's the most lucrative match an MLS club has ever played. And they're also going to want to make history, and they're going to want to jump into this as well and join the likes of Seattle and Inter Miami as well. So you got a lot to play for. You got a lot to play for in these couple of matches since the Premier League season's over. Chelsea's going to be coming into this one. They're going to want to win. They're going to want to win to help push them forward, especially heading into Club World Cup.
Yeah, one element to that game tomorrow, Betis finished the La Liga season on Friday night. Chelsea played at Nottingham Forest in a game they had to win to clinch Champions League for next year on Sunday, and they won that. We'll see if they have to rotate to get a lot. Betis has got a bunch of injuries, so it's a kind of a weird one tomorrow. You can watch it on Paramount Plus. We'll see how that one ends up looking. All right, quickly, 3 things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Number one for me, a team I talked about, I think last week, Platense in Argentina. Los Calamares, the Squids. Not kidding. They're called the Squids. It's crazy. They have the greatest mascot in the history of mascots. I've seen videos of the mascot dancing now, which is insanity. They are a team in Argentina who has never won a first division title. They've only won 3 league titles at any division in their history of, I think, 120 years or something like that. They're in the final now. They won 1-0 against San Lorenzo over the weekend. They will be playing in the final against Huracan, who is a kind of an old school top team in Argentina, but hasn't really been that in a while. It's not Boca, it's not River, it's not the top teams. It's Platense and Huracan in the final in Argentina, and I am all in for the Squid, pulling for the Squid. White and brown uniformed. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but go Platense in the Argentine final. What's something that makes you smile about this game, Maddie?
I'm going to go back to WPSL because I'm very excited for this season to start off, especially since there's so much things happening with WPSL too, especially next year with the pro teams and the pro season going to be starting up as well. That's going to be a ton of fun. But Georgia Impact starting up this Thursday, I think that is going to be such a fun game. It's going to be a fun atmosphere being at Reformation to kick off the season for them. And it's going to be an even fun home atmosphere as well, June 1st. So come on out to Canton. Come out to Cherokee High School if you can.
Yeah, if you're on the north side, Reformation Brewery for the watch party on Friday night, 7 o'clock for that kickoff, and in the game in Canton at Cherokee High School Sunday at 6. And don't forget, Friday night in Decatur, Decatur FC plays at 7 o'clock in downtown Decatur. Cool atmospheres on both sides for women's soccer. Number 3 on the things that make me smile, the academy players rocking out for Atlanta United 2 over the weekend, Jono Ransom, Gabriel Wiese. And the homegrown's doing the same thing for the first team. I mean, Jay Fortune and Matt Edwards were maybe the 2 best players on the pitch for Atlanta United at the Benz. We'll see if they can continue it tomorrow night against Orlando. 6:30 for the pregame, 7:40 for the kickoff. You can listen to it all right here on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for hanging out with us. AST back next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Adios, everybody.